And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 129 for August 10th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Tunes, NFL Easy Picks, and The Fraudcast, which no longer exists. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before you get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. You want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You could tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. So without further ado, let's get into our panel for this week. Episode 110 in a row, Mr. Heavy Set.
110, we jumped.
Oh yeah, 104 in a row, Heavy Set.
Don't forget Fight Show Live.
Which also no longer exists. I knew the fucker was going to call me out on it. We've got La Carnage.
What's up?
Coming back from her absence, Katie the First Lady.
Hello, I'm happy to be back. It's awesome.
Yeah. And we've got the mesmerizing, the dynamic, the eccentric Kebo Trek.
That's me.
Yeah, news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Are we going to start on the obvious one? We might as well start on the obvious one. The Deadpool trailer, the official Deadpool trailer has been released now. They had some unofficial ones that people reported, like when they were at the Comic-Con, they kind of filmed it. They took it down. So now they're ready to officially release the trailer. Let's play it and discuss.
I love you, Wade Wilson. We can fight this.
You're right. The cancer's only my liver, lungs, prostate, and brain. All things I can live without.
What if I told you we can make you better? You're a fighter. We can give you abilities most men only dream of. Make you a superhero.
You just promise you'll do right by me. So I can be right by someone else.
And please don't make the super suit green or animated.
One thing that never survives this place is a sense of humor.
We'll see about that, Posh Spice.
Oh, come on.
You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
Hey, yeah, I wanna shoot, baby.
Act in your stack, especially in the back. Brother, I wanna thank your mother for a butt like that. You're a shot this way.
You may be wondering why the red suit. Well, that's so bad guys can't see me bleed. This guy's got the right idea. He wore the brown pants.
Daddy needs to express some rage.
Motherfucker!
Damn right, can I do it again? I am like some gossip. Break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break bread with, I'll break these enemies.
It reeks like old lady pants in here.
Sounds like you have a dick in your mouth.
Oh, motherfucker, you are hard to look at.
Like a testicle with teeth.
You look like Freddy Krueger face-fucked a topographical map of Utah.
Exactly.
I'm touching myself tonight. You are haunting. You look like an avocado had sex with an older avocado.
Thank you.
I'm really excited for this. They did it justice. I think Ryan Reynolds was always the perfect casting because somebody kind of shit on his other ventures into the kind of superhero universe. I get that, but he's the perfect asshole. Even if it's a couple years late, I don't care. It actually works out better because the CGI is going to be better in this. But they do justice to the character. They're making it really fucking raunchy, swearing everything, badass shooting, capping people in the head. This does not hold back at all. I am opening day very excited. Let's start with Mr. Heavyset. Get your thoughts.
I'm not going to be high on this movie as everybody else. I'm not a big Deadpool fan. Like, I don't hate him or anything, but just not really high on my list. But
how do you not like Deadpool?
He's one of those guys that was more or less introduced to me after, like, all the hype with everybody. I was just kind of like, well, he's funny and everything, but the way he's built is I'm just like, yeah, I'm just... He's cool, but I'm not like a diehard fan. I will go see the movie. I like the how it's going to be rated R, and I think I had watched one of the YouTube channels that I follow. A guy asked a kind of an interesting question. He's like, "What do you think would happen if it was Disney Marvel and they were wanting to come out with the Deadpool movie because of how popular the character is? Would they give it the free range to go, okay, you are a rated R character, so we're going to put you in a rated R movie, or are they going to tone it down, be a little bit PG-13, but you'll be able to see Deadpool in an Avengers movie? Like, kind of interesting, because when it comes to, as far as their track record, Marvel, Disney, they've done pretty good. I don't think there's been many, many complaints besides, I mean, maybe you don't like a certain movie as much. Like, I know certain people on this panel, on the show, don't like the shaky cam in Captain America 2, but still, like, they do right by the characters. And the question is, would Disney Marvel do the same thing for one of the more vulgar characters in the series?
Nope. Nah, moving on. I mean, you just said it, Disney. No.
If you look at a lot of the properties that Disney actually owns, there are ones that are more, I mean, talking about, like, movie companies, production companies. Just because it has Disney on it doesn't mean they're going to be like, oh, we gotta water this down. They could, their track record, it's one of two ways you can look at it. You can go, yeah, they've always gone like down a certain way of being like family friendly and all the superhero movies, but all the characters are genuinely like that. But they've always done right by the character. Then you have the other side of it where, well, they've never really done rated R, but they could do rated R, but would they, which route would they take? I think it's one of those things there's no right answer on. You could be like, well, they're Disney. They're only going to go this way. Well, but they've done right by the characters. Well, they've done right by the characters, but they're not a rated R code. You can create a argument either way.
I think Deadpool did the native Deadpool, the vulgar, the violent Deadpool. I don't think they'd touch him with a 10-foot fucking pole. That's just my opinion. Yeah, maybe they can go with another kind of offshoot to their empire. They can go through another kind of... So something that doesn't directly attach them to it makes more sense for me, but I just can't see them doing justice. Oh, fucking people, neighbors again. All right. So unfortunately, again, they just wait for me to start recording and they start moving a bunch of furniture. Anyways, my opinion, not a good idea for Disney, but I'm very excited to see it. That being said, La Carnage, what do you think about the trailer itself and Heavy's comments?
I was going to say Heavy sounded a bit like a hipster, but, To me,
a hipster. A hipster would completely hate on Deadpool. I don't hate on Deadpool.
Yeah, I'm saying almost. Yeah. Now the thing with Deadpool is like
fuck Spider-Man though.
Yeah, like Disney is not gonna. If Disney were to touch on Deadpool, yeah, I don't think they'd even touch it. Like you said, they have done characters justice. As far as the preview itself, I like the fact that you see Deadpool joking around, making certain jokes, innuendos, cussing, three people lined up, he shoots them all dead in the head. You know, it's going to be a good movie. Now I'm curious to see where Colossus and this other character comes into play, because they show Colossus in the previews, and as far as when I'm going to see it, opening day hopefully. So
yeah, agreed. Katie, you found a Deadpool?
I wasn't too familiar at first, I'll be honest. I mean, other than we saw him in the Wolverine Origins and things like that. But after this trailer, I'm definitely going to see it because it looks hilariously good. And I think, like you said before, Ryan Reynolds is perfect for this role. I think fans will appreciate him more now as opposed to when he did Green Lantern. And I think this will be a big, huge hit for him, for sure.
Katie, as far as the Deadpool in Origins, erase that out of your head. That was not even Deadpool.
I know. That's what I'm familiar with.
And can we all point out the fact that they referenced Green Lantern in the trailer? And it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I'm hoping they make some sort of reference to the other storyline of Deadpool that no longer exists. Like maybe like don't cover up my mouth or something like that. like they're saving that more for like, all right, we're going to throw in the punch to Green Lantern because we don't know how bad it is, but we'll save our fuck up from earlier for the actual movie when people go see it.
All right, moving along. Next story. This is Carnage's story. Mortal Kombat reboot. Got some news for it. Ever since Kevin Takaroan brought the Mortal Kombat franchise back into the mainstream, fans have been clamoring for a new live-action movie. They almost got their wish when Takaroan's short film, Mortal Kombat Rebirth, which was fucking incredible, by the way, gave rise to web series Mortal Kombat Legacy, and then New Line Cinema began development on the new big screen adaptation. Yet, despite Mortal Kombat being one of the best-selling video games in history, the series hasn't always had an easy time getting into theaters. A 1995 adaptation directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, pre-Resident Evil, earned a respectable $122 million worldwide, positioning it as the fourth highest grossing video game movie ever released. But 2 years later, Mortal Kombat Annihilation was almost universally panned and didn't make half as much at the box office. I agree, it was a complete piece of garbage. For the past few years, it seemed like New Line Cinema's Mortal Kombat reboot wouldn't even get off the ground after Takaroan dropped off in 2013. Now, the tracking board reports the Furious 7 and Aquaman director James Wan has been hired to produce and bring new life to the stalled film. For Mortal Kombat Rebirth writer Oren Uziel, who is also currently working on Men in Black 4, why I have no idea, and the Expendables writer Dave Callahan, the script for the reboot is said to follow a seemingly harmless guy who realizes his potential when he finds himself caught in the middle of a cross-dimensional battle between the warriors of Earth and the monsters of the Outworld. Now, in order to stop the world from total destruction, he must win the martial arts tournament known as Mortal Kombat. Would that be Johnny Cage, by the way, Kev? That unsuspecting guy?
Yeah, I think it would have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so, too. I've also been a huge fan of the first one. I remember Kev and I went to go see it opening day. It was full. And I know Kev was a huge fan of Mortal Kombat 2 in the arcade. He probably spent a couple $1,000 in quarters playing it religiously at the local video store. I really loved the movie. I loved the theme. Yes, it was cheesy, but I was 13 and it was fun. And I think for the time, it was a really good movie. But it does need updating, and it's been 20 years. I don't see why not. The video game is extremely popular. The web series has done great. So Carnage, I think it's a great move, and I think it's actually going to do really well. Let's get your thoughts.
As far as the character, I was thinking more along the lines of maybe Stryker, because Stryker was a police officer. And they're saying like the between the warriors of Earth and the monsters of Outworld. So, or maybe it could just be a totally different guy from a perspective of, you know, someone like us. But I do like the idea. I was a big fan of the first one. I'm not going to say I hated the second one because I like that they brought certain characters in. But I wish they would have done a better way of maybe having the story progress.
If I remember correctly, didn't Johnny Cage die in like 2 minutes?
Yeah, he actually gets his back broken. And I think that's the long the lines the game went at one point. I think it was Mortal Kombat 4 is when he died. And they had like a dead Johnny Cage, I believe, as a character at one point. And then they did Liu Kang. And, you know, I just think this could be, this is great potential. If they can do it right, a guaranteed moneymaker, especially right now. The game's big right now, more with the newest one out.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter on where they go with it. Thumbs up for it. Hopefully they can get it right.
Throw it up to the panel. Who would like to discuss?
I loved the first one as a kid as well. Would it hold up as well today? I'm not sure. But I think like if they make it like they made the web series, you know, you have that grisly, dark kind of tone, which, let's be honest, that's what Mortal Kombat should be. I mean, I remember back when the video game came out, there was all the controversy with the blood and the fatalities and all that. So if you have to go that really dark route, and if it keeps the tone of the web series, I'm absolutely for it. Mortal Kombat 2 is still, to this day, my favorite video game of all time. So I would definitely be up to seeing it if they do it right. If they don't make, like, it's not a Street Fighter kind of movie. It's not like most other video games. It has to be dark. It has to be gory. It has to be bloody. And if they do that, I think it'll be great.
All right, next news story. This comes from Heavy Set. I think he just added this into the show notes.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I just saw HS right next to it, and I saw you typing. Not important, but Zoolander 2 is going to be released soon. We have a teaser, and I'm going to save my comments for after the teaser because I have my opinion on it, but Heavy Set submitted it, so let's play it and get our thoughts.
In the beginning, there was nothing. An infinite void. Then, in an instant, everything known to man came into being. The Big Bang. The birth of time itself. Chaos and beauty. A beauty that created infinite galaxies. Galaxies that would one day create the unimaginable. Life. But even more incredible. The human brain. The pinnacle of billions of years of evolution. A brain that possesses the power of reason. And the ability to ponder life's most ancient riddles. Why are we here? Is there intelligent life beyond our galaxy? Or the one question that has puzzled mankind since the beginning of time.
If God exists, then why did he make ugly people? 200 Lander?
No, Derek. 2 Lander. It's like a pun.
But I don't spell my name with a 2.
Fine. How about...
Zoolander II?
No, Zoolander 2, but with Roman numerals.
But I'm not Italian.
Jesus, you are so freaking stupid. It's insane.
Never been a fan of the franchise. Walked out of the didn't we walk out, Kev?
No, we were both waiting for the others to
to walk out. Yeah. And then at the end, we're like, you wanted to walk out. I wanted to walk out. I don't find it funny. I'm actually generally a fan of Stiller, but do not like this character. I think it's just dumb. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan. And I think it's an insult to Stephen Hawking to have him on this trailer. Just saying. Heavy. Let's get your thoughts.
I'm actually never seen this movie, but I know that there's not a cult following, but like a lot of his earlier work, a lot of people love the movie.
A lot of people love watching garbage. I don't know. It's their opinion, though. Hey, man, USA, you have the freedom to do whatever you want. You want to watch garbage? Go for it, man.
But I just I'm kind of wondering, is it too little too late? Because it seems like kind of like Anchorman 2 and the following that was behind Anchorman. And it's like, oh,
Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, yeah, that too. So I was like, why are we waiting so long for these sequels? I'm like, I might sit down and actually watch Zoolander because it's one of those weird movies I own on DVD, but I've never seen. So I think I own it. I'm not 100% sure. Because now that I think about it, I don't know if I ever bought it or it was my ex's copy that I had.
Hey, man, listen, if you need coasters for your drinks, just go to the 99-cent store and buy some. I don't know.
I'm curious to see what this is going to be like. Granted, this is a teaser, but I don't know if Stiller's running out of movie ideas because I think we're pretty much done with the Meet the Parents series. So they don't want to do a fourth one because that would be really stupid. So I don't know. I mean, if he wants to come out with another Dodgeball, I'd go see that movie. That was one of my favorite Stiller movies ever.
I know there's, like you said, there's a bit of a hardcore fan base for this. And Hartness makes, what is it? Time makes, something makes the heart grow fonder.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
There you go. I took 2 nootropics this morning. I should be pretty good. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Nostalgia is a very powerful thing. I think there is going to be a big enough audience that they keep the budget low enough so that it makes around 2025 and it still makes money or breaks even. Yes, there's a fan base for it. I fucking hate it. But we got to report stuff we don't like either, because I'm sure there's one or two. AA looks like a Zoolander fan. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to judge anybody. I'm pretty sure AA is a Zoolander fan. We're going to throw that to the panel. Maybe somebody likes this on the panel, and I'm out of my mind here. Open up the panel. Let's get your thoughts.
I did want to say that I'm not a fan of the movie, but there were certain aspects of the movie that were pretty fucking hilarious. And I noticed when they were zooming through his mind right now, it said like E equals MC Hammer. And then there's like a part in the first one where he reads a eulogy and he's like, yeah, I'm here to read a eugoogly. And like, it's just dumb, stupid shit. But am I going to see it opening day? Fuck no. Probably Netflix or wait till it's on regular basic TV or something.
I'm at the point where I wouldn't even be in a test audience if you paid me to watch this movie. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I don't like it.
You're telling me if they were going to pay you, you wouldn't watch anything.
Not this, no.
I fucking totally would for money. I'm a whore.
I couldn't do it. I don't know what it is. There's a hatred on my side. I'm a bitter, angry man.
I listened to a lot of Loveline with Dr. Drew, and if you want, we can get into your past. Maybe you were, you know, tormented as a child. Something about
models. Maybe I was touched by a model as a kid.
Something's going on there. I think we need to do a 1 hour, one topic.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right, next story. So we got some new news. Apparently, the Captain America Civil War teams, or the sides, have been revealed. So, and I'm usually not a fan of revealing big things, but from what I'm told from my panelists, it's nothing too crazy. Like, it won't ruin anything. So we got some new info here. Let's play it and get our thoughts.
That we have our teams. We have Team Iron Man and Team Captain America. Whose side are each people on? Some of it's just obvious, you know? If you don't want to hear this, it's fine. If you do, all right. Well, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. We got Team Captain America. On his team is Hawkeye, Falcon, of course, Scarlet Witch, Winter Soldier, and Ant-Man. So there you go. It's pretty obvious, you know, Falcon's there, and you got Scarlet Witch, team, who was like, you know, and a part of the new Avengers now. And that's cool. That Ant-Man, he's joining Cap's side. So then we got Team Iron Man, and Team Iron Man will have Vision, Spider-Man,
yes,
Black Widow, and War Machine, of course. So there you go. Wow, looks like Natasha, maybe she got a little pissed off at Cappy, huh? A little bit of bad blood there, just because what? Just, I don't know. She lost her love.
All right, shut up, Mr. Banner, YouTube guy. Okay, so
that guy is just like whatever.
Yeah, I'm gonna edit that so he doesn't sound that much like a douche. We'll get to the point on that, I guess. I think it's awesome that Spider-Man's gonna be on Team Iron Man, and I prefer Iron Man over Cap America. Anyways, I hated the movies because of the shaky cam. From what Dave from Expert Comics tells me, that if you watch it on DVD, it's actually bearable. It's not as bad as if you're on the big screen, the shaky cam stuff anyway. So I might possibly revisit the Winter Soldier just to see on DVD if it's a bit better or bearable, I guess, for that shaky cam. But I think Chris Evans just needs to learn how to do a fight scene, and I hope he dies soon. And I haven't been spoiler to anything, so I don't know if what I'm saying actually makes sense. But I hope he dies. I'm not a big fan of him. So, and it's pretty much a bit of a jobber team there. Like Ant-Man, I'm surprised, though. Ant-Man's actually a pretty useful guy. But the fact that Iron Man's got Spider-Man, I think, is one of the big assets there. I'm actually kind of excited now. And I purchased the trade. I pre-purchased the trade, so I'm going to go and actually read the comic version of Civil War before I watch the movie. Yeah, I think it's cool. Yeah, it's not a big spoiler thing, too. That's good. So go Team Iron Man. I guess Kebbo, will start with you. Are you Team Iron Man or Team Captain America? And we'll get your thoughts on the reveal.
That's a good question, because I do love, like, I actually like Captain America. I thought the movies were fantastic. Well, especially, I thought the second movie was fantastic, minus the shaky cam, which kind of ruined it. But I actually really like Captain America. I really like Iron Man. And I was a bit surprised.
Pick one.
I think overall, I like the team better on Iron Man. Like,
I'm a Spider-Man guy.
Yeah.
I know. Heavy too. Heavy is such a huge Spider-Man fan. So I know where his allegiances lie. The earliest photos of me as a baby had a Spider-Man picture. I was already a Spider-Man mark the post-conception 2 days after. So. It's just destiny for me to go on Team Iron Man. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
His dad used a Spider-Man condom.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was really surprised when I heard that, you know, that Black Widow is going to be on Iron Man side, which I think is good. At least, like, it'll shake things up a bit rather than having an obvious be with Captain America and that. And just in general, just hearing this news makes me super excited for the movie. And I hope that we're, like they're really against each other. It's not just like a misunderstanding, or like, I hope there's like, they're really trying to kill each other and stuff like that. Maybe they don't. And in the end, you know, nobody really dies, but I don't want it to just be like a misunderstanding kind of thing. They fight a bit and that's it. Like, I hope there's seriously bad blood. And just hearing this news makes me super excited for it, because I think it's going to be real, such a good movie.
Throw it out to the panel. Who wants to talk about this big news?
I was going to say that, You could kind of figure, for those of us that have seen Ant-Man, this might be a bit of a spoiler, but you know, with his conflict with Falcon, did everybody here see Ant-Man already?
Well, why don't you ask that question
before you spoil? I'm not going to spoil anything. All I was going to say is, for those that
you just said the F word.
What? Fight?
Fake?
No. No.
Oh, Fate.
Falcon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he's in the previews. In the trailer, we knew he was going to be in the movie.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, so I didn't spoil that. But all I'm saying is, for those that have seen it, the post-credit scene kind of led you to believe where Ant-Man would probably lie, either way.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I know that apparently it's not one big misunderstanding. Do you remember how in Age of Ultron they refer to how they're like basically kind of like a mutant registration act? They're basically like listing mutants down. They do it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. So I think that's the bigger picture, and that's probably why Black Widow is with Stark, because I'm sure Stark's against it, and, you know, Captain America works for the government, so...
No, I think it's the other way around, isn't it? Isn't Captain America against it and Stark is for it?
No, Stark's against it, which is why, because that's why Black Widow, you know, with Hulk, Bruce Banner, that's why they're on that end. Captain America is actually wanting the names registered. And if you look at it too, it's mainly people that aren't really powered or enhanced besides himself. Ant-Man, Falcon, they're all suits. And then Hawkeye, same thing. None of them are, what are they calling them now? Enhanced or gifted or something like that?
I think they call them challenged.
Mentally.
My question to everybody is, what team are they on?
Yeah, well, I told you.
And no, not Edward, Jacob.
I'm Team Iron Man. Team Iron Man all the way.
Yeah, two Iron Mans. Katie.
Yeah, I'm Team Iron Man. I like the fact that each team has a member on there that has a personal connection to the leader. That also makes it interesting as well. But I'm Team Iron Man for sure. I think their team is a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, America, they got a couple of jobbers on there. So, except for, I don't think Ant-Man's a jobber anymore. I take that back.
No.
But like, I find Falcon's a jobber. Who else was mentioned? There was one other
jobber. Hawkeye's not really a jobber. He's pretty dope.
Yeah, but he can't do anything. He's like the Arrow, but he's like a cheaper version of the Arrow.
Don't hate on the Arrow, bro.
Listen, Arrow and Hawkeye, I'm not hating the Arrow, but if Arrow and Hawkeye got at it, Hawkeye be jobbing like in 2 minutes.
Arrow will be at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Yeah, that too, yeah.
Versus, what is it, Stardust? Ziggy Stardust?
Was he actually fighting him?
No, but he did post a video to Twitter and stuff, Stephen Amell.
He's supposed to be on Monday on Raw.
He was on last Monday, too. He posted a video. He was way up high in the bleachers watching. He filmed the ring, and then he flipped the camera to himself saying, I'm watching you. So, yeah, it's getting kind of, I guess, comic gimmicky here pretty soon.
If they had a match, I would mark the fuck out. And he's serious. I think he's training.
Oh, yeah, and I guarantee you he's coming in the Arrow suit.
That's awesome.
So, going back to topic, because this will come out after Raw, and we all seen how great Raw was this week with Stephen Amell there, am I right? But I'm the only one that's on Team Captain America. And it's actually not because of Spider-Man. Spider-Man can be on Team Captain America. I'd still Captain America's my favorite Marvel superhero.
I was going to say, you're just hating on Spidey. That's what it is.
No, he
goes on the losing team. It's what he does.
Yeah, that's why I beat you the first time I debuted on WWE. Anyway.
I don't remember that.
This is old school.
Yeah, you Canadians are just against Captain America because you're America's half.
Oh, would you stop it? Captain America, and it's more Chris Evans that pisses me off. Yeah. If the fucker learns how to throw a punch in a fight scene without having to do 8 hours of shaky cam to protect it, I might like him a little bit more. But the whole concept of him, he's too goody-two-shoes. He makes me sick.
To be honest, I thought it was rumored that originally it was going to be Channing Tatum, too. I think they would have done better off with Channing Tatum being Captain America myself.
You know what? I agree with that.
I'm going to disagree only because we wouldn't get Channing Tatum as Gambit, and I think that's, like, the perfect cast.
Really? You think so? Well, look-wise, like with the lips and the jawline,
All they had to do was say that they were casting like that. I'm like, that's perfect. Name somebody else that fits that role better.
Captain America, I would have said before the racism stuff, Hogan, because he already did the Mr. America stuff, and it worked perfect.
I think he was referring to Gambit, though.
Yeah,
Gambit? Yeah, I'd still cast Hogan.
Yeah, at least we got rid of him.
Very, very convenient muting on heavy side there. Okay, moving on. We get to the weekend box office for this week. Break it down. Okay, let's break down the weekend box office for this week. Coming in first place for a second week in a row, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, with a weekend gross of $29.4 million. A drop of 47%, Kev, that's actually not too bad for an action film.
Yeah, definitely. And considering it has decent foreign numbers so far, it's already announced that we're going to have number 6. So this seems to be doing quite nicely. And yeah, 47% is not bad for an action movie and a summer movie. So I think they're pretty happy with how things are going.
How's it doing foreign?
Foreign, I think it's at about one. Let me double check. 156 so far, but I think it still has to open in some markets. And like I said, they've already announced a 6, so it'll definitely be profitable for them.
I'm hoping they do a Spider-Man cameo in that movie, so I really, really want to go see it.
You should do a 20-minute monologue on Scientology.
Isn't that all of his movies?
No, it's just the third one. All right, so go back into the Red Book. Fantastic Four completely bombed at the box office, guys. Made $26 million. Even the foreign was garbage. 34. It's got a total of 60. Complete worldwide gross. I'm thinking the budget's at around 150. I don't know, Kev, if I'm close there, but
yeah, budget production's 120. Add in the rest, yeah, it's probably around there.
So it's an abysmal performance here. Let's see. It made 26.2. Let's see what we predicted last week. For the big movies coming out, we're just going to go round table and how much it's going to make. We're going to start with the big one, Fantastic Four, The Carnage. How much is it making?
I'm going to say $52 million.
Little bit off. Have you said?
$41
million. Little bit off. Will.
I'm saying, I was saying $40 million. I had that in my head from the beginning.
And myself, we're going to say 39.
Ooh.
There you go. So I'm wow. King of like the... Yeah, so we over-guessed a bit, but I think that would have been normal given the budget and the popularity of the first one. So a little bit off there. The Gift made $12 million. Let's see what we predicted last week. The Gift, Le Carnage.
I'm going to say $9
million. Have you set?
8.5.
Will.
Eight. I was saying $8
million. And I say $6.5 million. There you go. I think Carnage won that.
Le Carnage.
Le Carnage. $3 million off. That's pretty close. All right. And Ricky and the Flash. Actually, no, we're going to wait for Ricky and the Flash because that came in at 7th place. Vacation came in $9 million this week. Number 4, down 37%. Total domestic gross of 37. Ant-Man, number 5 at $7.8 million. Only a 38% drop. So it is still getting some good buzz. It's got a total domestic of 147. With foreign numbers of 178, it's made 326. With a budget of 130, it's already made money. So that's really good. I'm guessing we're going to see a second one for that. Minions came in 6th place with 7.4 million, 40% drop. Not bad for an animated film. Total domestic of 302 on a $74 million budget. Ricky and the Flash debuted with 7 million this week. Let's see what we predicted last week. Ricky and the Flash, Le Carnage.
I'm going to say 14 million.
A little bit off. But I think we all thought that Meryl Streep would have a bigger draw, but a saturated market. So, okay, he says 14. Justin, heavy set.
Thanks, Keith.
Seven. Did you say seven?
Seven.
Boom, on the fucking dot, on the cent.
Fuck.
He just won the price showcase, man.
Does that mean I get to reach in your pocket and grab out a $100 bill?
Yeah, I got a couple 10 bits, though, if you want. Sarah. Will.
I'm saying 12 million. Play. I think Meryl Streep has a lot
of draw. Will, you're out of your fucking mind.
A lot of draw.
She's got the vagina draw big time. I'm going to come 1 million under you and say 11. All right, last one. Yeah. Okay, debut in 8th place, Trainwreck, 6.3. Sorry, not a debut. In 8th place, Trainwreck, 6.3 million, down 34%. So this is getting some really good buzz. It's got a total domestic at 91. And Kev said, oh, it's not going to make any money. You were wrong, buddy. Pixels, number 9, came in with 5.4 million, down 48% for a total domestic of 57 million. Yeah. Adam Sandler is dead, movie-wise. And in 10th place, Southpaw, 4.7 million, dropped 37% for a total domestic of 40. And normally I don't mention past the top 10, but in this case, Sean, as I referred to it as Shaun of the Sheep, which is, I kind of mixed up my British films there. Shaun the Sheep debuted domestically with 4 million. We actually predicted some numbers as well. Let's get our thoughts from last week. Shaun of the Sheep, or Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Sheep. Le Carnage.
7 million.
Heavy.
Can't wait to see this Hot Fuzz sequel. 9.
William.
Whoa, whoa, what's this? I'm saying 18. There's no...
Will, what the fuck?
Nothing for kids. Oh, wait. No, there is. Whatever. I'm saying 18.
I'm going to go a little higher. Not than you, Will. I think you're insane. I'm going to say 13. Sean, okay, forget it. I stand corrected.
Le Carnage again.
Le Carnage wins again. Okay. Yeah, that is the weekend box office and our thoughts from last week. Moving on is upcoming movies for this week. All right, so these last two are Carp's last two in the movie draft. First one looks actually kind of interesting. I might check it out. This is The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Are they still following us?
Yes.
Does he have just one hand on the steering wheel?
Mm-hmm.
When you hear something that sounds like a gunshot, drive.
Did you get it?
Let's just hope he doesn't drive as quickly as he moves. Take a right. And then an immediate left.
Now what?
Take another left through the window. After you. Nicely done.
Our commitment to defend Western Europe and West Berlin stands undiminished.
What I'm about to feed you, Solo, might taste a little better.
Where are we going with this, sir?
What does that mean?
He said, don't kill your partner on your first day.
I know what he said. What does it mean?
This is the most dangerous time in our history. We recently discovered an international criminal organization with an atom bomb.
We have no choice but to work together on this.
You ought to investigate Victoria Vinciguerra.
America teaming up with Russia. That doesn't sound very friendly.
Obviously, I was briefed about your criminal background. Your balls are at the end of a very long leash held by a very short man.
Your special forces, KGB, the youngest man to join, in fact, in their best within 3 years. I do wonder if it was your father's shame that gave you such drive, though. Or was it your mother's reputation? I understand that she was extremely popular amongst your father's friends. See you tomorrow.
The plot is, stop me if I get this wrong, a stealth attack on the island from the sea. The rest is up to you.
The thing is,
I work better alone.
I work better alone too. What is it?
Super hardened boron sharpened with a CO2 laser.
Okay. CO2 laser. Coming?
So you're a thief. I hope you wear a mask.
Sometimes. Just never when I'm stealing things.
What's my cover?
I'm your fiancé.
Congratulations. Told you, we're teaming up with the Russians. Doesn't get any more Russian than the Red Peril here.
When your baby leaves you all alone.
Don't you make me put you over my knee.
So you don't want to dance? But you do want to wrestle.
No, I did not say that.
For a special agent, you're not having a very special day, are you? And I'm
they will send an army to stop us.
We must give them an appropriate welcome.
Things could get a little messy. End of the world. That kind of thing.
You're trembling.
That's because I'm scared.
It's going to be okay. It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
It's a new life. Oh, and you have a new code name.
Code name?
Yes, rather a good one. U.N.C.L.E.
That's a hell of a trailer. It's almost 5 minutes long. I think it was for Comic-Con specifically. I'm really looking forward to this. Henry Cavill plays the lead as an American spy. Armie Hammer, I believe, plays the Russian. Alicia Vikander and Elizabeth Debicki look really good in this. Even Hugh Grant plays kind of, I guess, a Q or kind of one of the older agents or one of the instructors. Again, forming my position that Hugh Grant should be the next James Bond. Just saying, this looks very kind of, it's set in the 60s where the Americans and the Soviets have to work together. I like that dynamic. I like the acting. I like the action in it. I like the feel of it. I like the music of it. So I'm definitely an opening weekend for me. Heavy set. Let's get your thoughts. Yeah or nay?
I know it surely isn't. I'd probably check it out, rental or digital download.
Kebbo Trek, I know this is up your alley.
Yeah, I'm pretty much same reaction as you. I think it looks fantastic. If it's as good as the trailer says, it'll definitely be a contender for top two or three movies, and I'm definitely open weekend as well.
Le Carnage.
I fucking love Guy Ritchie, so yeah, I want to check this fucker out.
Fucking A. Katie the First Lady.
It's a yay. I'll definitely see it. It sounds fun.
Yeah, I agree. I like the feel of it too. It's not too serious, but it does have that kind of spy, 60 spy element to it. I like it. All right, next up this week we have a second one. This is Carp's second one. This also looks good. I wasn't a huge fan of the band growing up, but I like the story and I like the actors in it. And apparently the Dr. Dre he's actually producing the soundtrack too, which
it's not the official soundtrack if I'm correct. It's just I think it's supposed to be similar to what 8 Mile soundtrack was. Or technically,
okay.
It's an out soundtrack, and it's already out. It came out Friday. He announced
it. Oh, sweet. I'll
he check announced it, out. It on the 1st, and it came out the 7th.
That's what, awesome. That's what all those...
Yeah, that's what the main thing. Yeah, we'll get to more of that after we talk about the trailer.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, this is Straight Outta Compton. Not to be confused with Straight Outta Linwood.
I heard you've been spending a lot of time at your auntie's house. How's the couch life?
Got my woman and my baby living there. It's hard, man. But you know, everybody can't do what you do.
Really, what I do is getting played out, Dre.
Where the money at?
Why you gotta be so ruthless, cuz?
I made a few changes.
Where you think you're going?
I'm just trying to get home.
That's my son.
You
need
to get back in the house, or I will ruin your life.
I gotta talk to my moms like that.
You had the chance to change the situation.
Would you take it?
Just hit that first beat hard. All right, you cruising down the street.
All right.
Cruising down the street in my 6-4.
Hey, that was dope, eh?
You're listening to Compton's very own Ice Cube, Eazy-E, and Dr. Dre. I gotta tell you, you are witnessing history.
People are scared of you guys.
You have a unique voice. The world needs to hear it.
They want N.W.A.? Let's give them N.W.A.
This is only the tip of the iceberg, gentlemen.
What's going on? What do you have in that bag?
Are you kidding me?
You can't take that in a bus.
This song's glamorized gangs and drugs.
Our art is a reflection of our reality.
You guys supposed to be somewhere?
These are artists.
Rap is not an art.
You cannot come down here and harass my clients because of what they look like.
I promise you, things gonna be different from here on out.
Listen, to be honest with you, I don't know anything about hip-hop, but I know that you're special.
You want to be involved with this gangster life? Here we go.
Speak a little truth and people lose their mind.
This isn't the Crips and Bloods. This is a threat from the federal government.
They're trying to tell us what we can't play. This ain't NWA.
Yo, Dre.
What up?
I got something to say.
We can keep going, man. We can take over the goddamn world.
Got a little gust of wind and I'm dead. Believe a memory, no one will be forgetting. So
as I leave, believe I'm starving. But when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of Compton.
This is O'Shea Jackson Jr. is playing Ice Cube, Corey Hawkins, Dr. Dre, Jason Mitchell, Eazy-E, Neil Brown Jr., DJ Yella, all this Hodge, MC Ren, and... One of the most interesting ones is they got Paul Giamatti to play Jerry Heller, and I think this really adds to the legitimacy of the movie. Not to say that the other actors aren't—they're more, in my opinion, kind of unknowns. But I think it's going to be great to have. I mean, there looks like their acting chops are there, so I don't know the whole backstory myself. I wasn't a huge fan, but I'm interested. Curiosity factor is definitely there. So I don't know if I'd be opening, but I'd be maybe second week or a cheapy Tuesday, but I definitely want to check this out. And I think they're really going to show how strong the tensions were at that time, too. So it's really interesting being a kind of a history buff as well for that stuff. So definitely yay for me. Heavy set. Let's get your thoughts.
First, I want to point out, if I'm correct, because I thought I read that the guy playing Ice Cube is Ice Cube's son.
Yeah. Okay, because, yeah, the resemblance is crazy.
Yes, mm-hmm, it's true. Yeah.
So that's an awesome fact that they're able to get that. This is a yay for me. A couple weeks ago, I wasn't 100% sure about how I felt about it. I hadn't really seen, I mean, I'd seen some trailers, but over the past couple weeks, with Dre announcing that he had finished an album and it was going to come out 1 week later, which was this past Friday, it's out, and it was only available on digital download through iTunes or iTunes, their Apple Radio shit that they have. Then there was the straight out of memes that popped out of nowhere because they were like, oh, yeah, create your own straight out of something with a picture. And, like, that's been blowing up. And promotion for this movie has been crazy just over the past couple of weeks alone. Definite yay for me. And nothing much else I can say. I'm not a huge NWA fan. I didn't even like it when they later became WCW years later.
But, yeah. All right, man. It's a yay for Heavy. Le Carnage.
Yeah, it's a definite yay for me. I was a big fan of NWA growing up, and it does go further besides just the NWA stuff. What happened when they split, which was some big controversy, which involves Suge Knight, who was Tupac's manager. He's a bit of a crazy ass, so yeah, man, I'm all for it. Hopefully I'll see this opening day. And the guy that they got to play Pac, too, I don't remember his name, but like could almost be Pac's son by the look of him.
Katie.
Yeah, it's a definite yay. I mean, it looks really good. I like it. Look, the feel of it's really good. I think it's going to be a big hit for sure.
And Kembo Trek's nay, so we won't even go there. Okay, next up.
Can we ask Hulk Hogan what he thinks?
Yeah, I'm sure Hogan's first opening with Dave.
I'll tell you what, brothers.
Yeah, okay. So movie draft, we're not even going to update yet because there's been very little change. Andre's still in a dominant position. Let's see what happens this week, Man from U.N.C.L.E. Actually, you know what? Let's do some Red Book. Whatever Carnage is.
Yeah, the Wayne's World thing there.
The Cantarta sound effect. Man from U.N.C.L.E., how much is that making? We'll start with Kembo Trek, because on his weeks, he was a combined $3 million off on both films. So he dominated when he did a prediction. Man from U.N.C.L.E., Kembo Trek, how much?
I wish I think it would do better, but I'm not optimistic, even though I think it looks fantastic. So I'm going to go 21 million.
Heavy set.
15 million.
Le Carnage.
I'm going to go with 19 million.
Katie.
18.
I'm going to lowball it. I think it's making 12.5. I'm super lowballing it.
I was about to effort. I was lowballing it at 15.
Straight out of Compton. Kebbo.
Well, I'm definitely seeing this opening day, but I would say
brother,
7 million.
Le Carnage.
I might be overshooting it, but I'm going to say it's going to do 37 million.
Ooh, from 7 to 37. Fucking the extremes. The extremes. Heavy set.
I'm going to go 20, and I'm going to go with a bold prediction that this movie does better than A Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, I think you're going to be right on that. Katie.
25.
And I'm going to say 15. I don't think it's making 7, but I don't think it's making 37. So I'm going to go in the middle there. We're going to say 15. Okay, let's get into some feedback. And ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in, I'd say, about 6 months, we have 2 emailers. But first, I know, markup moment of
what?
The year.
You never go ass to mouth.
Gay. You've never gone ass to mouth.
You ne-
Gay.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Start with our Twitter feedback for this week. This first one's from All Wine Aside, and it's a link to what was the number one movie on the day you were born? So I want you guys, I'm going to add it into the chat right now.
I already looked up mine. I got it. I did homework.
Okay, sweet. So whoever didn't, I'm just going to add it into the chat, and I'm going to do mine right now. I'm like Tommy Wiseau. I got to hide my age. Okay, the number one movie was Raiders of the Lost Ark, actually. So I don't know if you can guess what year that was. If you do a quick Google search, I guess.
Real old.
Real old school, yeah. I think that's a great movie because I really liked the Indiana Jones series, so that was kind of cool. Carnage, what was your number one?
Heavy's going to hate me, but it was A Christmas Story.
I think Heavy likes that.
No, though. I know. That's why he's going to hate me, because he loves that movie. And it's not on his birthday, probably.
Kebbo, what was your number one?
My number one was Private Benjamin.
Private Benjamin?
Yeah, I don't recall that movie at all.
Wow, you must be really old. I have no idea when that movie was.
Yeah, I think it was a silent film.
suits him perfectly.
Starring Charlie Chaplin, Ronald Reagan. Katie, what was your number one?
Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
He made a movie?
Yeah, he gets no respect. His son was like a swimmer in that one, I think. Right? Is that the one that one was?
And then he goes back to college, I think. He goes to college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he made a bunch of movies. Yeah, the other one I can think of is Ladybugs.
Yeah, that's...
More recent.
Yeah. Okay. Did I miss anybody? Oh, Heavy.
Police Academy 3.
Yeah, boy.
And I've never seen them. Anyway. Well, I've seen one of them, but it's been years. And
you got to revisit it, man.
I love
it.
That's
awesome. I think we talked about that in retrospective. I might end up downloading them next time I'm home.
The first one was like the most racist thing ever.
Homophobic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they call?
Ugly jigaboo.
Yeah, and we're just quoting here. We're not
big verbatim. Fat jigaboo and
big fat dumb jigaboo. That's what. And then Hightower went crazy and almost killed the guy. It was awesome.
Calling it like a homo dog and
yeah, it was a queer dog. Whatever.
I love Bobcat Goldthwait in those movies. And then what's that black dude that does all the sound effects? He talks like he's in an Asian movie. I'm going to
Jones.
Yeah, Jones. And then the Captain Broussard.
Tommy Lasard, I think.
Yeah, Lasard.
Mahoney, I think he was done after the second one, Mahoney.
Yeah, and then they switched the antagonist, that one dickhead cop that was always trying to get him in trouble with the little assistant that wanted to be a proctor and yell and shit like that.
Yeah.
They switched him, I think, twice, the character.
Heavy, you got to revisit those, especially the first two. They were a lot of fun.
I want to know why I'm going to be mad because your birthday is Christmas Story.
I just figured because you love that movie and it wasn't on your birthday.
No. I don't love the movie. My ex loved that fucking movie.
Okay, she Heavy hates movie. The movie now.
Okay, add the vigilante, #OSATM. That woman doing the Ghostbuster story, wow. What an annoying cunt. She's blatantly a Nerdist presenter equals generic American. Yeah, I agree. She was fucking annoying. #OSATM. If Pratt and Tatum are signed up for Ghostbusters, we need to see Jonah Hill in it as well. Holy shit, that is a great recommendation. I think Jonah Hill could play the Dan Aykroyd character.
I think he should totally be on there either way, because Channing Tatum and him, we already know, are funny together. Add Pratt in there, sold.
Yeah, I mean, Jonah Hill could also be Egon as well. He could play like an Egon character. I think he'd be perfect in there. Kev?
Yeah, I think he'd be good, and Lord knows it'd be a million times better than the one we're getting right now.
Yeah, Heavy, I know you're hardcore Ghostbusters.
What question did I miss?
Jonah Hill cast in the man Ghostbusters.
If we get back to skinny Jonah Hill, then he could definitely be an Egon.
Yeah, he dropped a bit away. He could be an Egon. Antivigilante, #OSATM, Beverly Hills Cop 4, fuck no, Murphy is dead as an actor. Holy shit, I totally disagree with you on that. I'm hoping this rejuvenates his career, because he has been dead for a while, except for being the donkey in Shrek, which I was corrected. By Heavy Set last episode, if he had anything relevant recently. But yeah, I really want to see it, and it's got to be, excuse the pun, but it's got to be raw.
Damn it, that reminds me. That's the article I should have brought for the show this week. They have leaked footage, or they leaked test footage of what Chris Farley's Shrek was going to sound like.
Because
for those who don't know, and I mean, like, a lot of people are learning this now, but I've known this for many years. He was the original pick for Shrek, and they were in production of it when he died. But after he died, they just scrapped almost everything, and it's like started from the beginning. But actually, Eddie Murphy is in this clip. If you want to look that up real quick or not,
it's nothing like a fire and a noble romantic mission to warm the cockles of your heart.
Yeah, I like my cockles room temperature. Thank you very much.
Hey, if you're not doing this for cockle warming, why are you doing it?
Simple. Fartwad gets his princess, I get what I want.
Which is? Now, come on, what do you want?
I don't have time to set it to music.
Oh, this is another one of those onion things.
No, this is one of those drop it and leave me alone things.
Well, why don't you want to talk about it?
Why do you want to talk about it?
Why are you answering the question with a question?
Why are you asking questions I don't want to answer?
Why are you blocking?
I'm not blocking.
Then why do you have problems expressing your wants?
I don't. I want you to shut up. See? No problem.
You're just displacing your anger.
Believe me, it's properly placed.
You're really mad at whoever did this to you.
No one did anything to me.
Yes, yes, yes. Someone hurt you so bad. Someone hurt you many years ago.
Leave my parents out of this.
Breakthrough. Let's go with that. Let's explore family origin. Were you hugged as a child, Shrek?
All right, all right. I want a home. And someone to share it with, okay?
Yes, Shrek, it's okay.
Farquaad said he'd give me my own swamp in exchange for the princess.
You really think you can trust that Weasley oil rag, don't you?
Hmm. Yeah, right. But now I'm going to have what he wants.
Boy, has he underestimated you.
Yeah, he can join the club. People see me and they go, ah, help! A big, stupid, stinky, smelly, ugly ogre! I'm so scared! And they judge me before they even know me. My folks always told me that everyone loves ogres.
I see.
So, I guess they were a little overprotective.
A little?
That's why I gotta do this. I want them to know I can take care of myself.
Now you want to make them proud.
Yeah.
You know what? When we met, I didn't think he was just a big, stupid, ugly ogre.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Night, Shrek.
Night, Donkey.
I don't know about that. I mean, now hearing, you know, Mike Myers' kind of Scottish Shrek, I don't know which one would have been better. I mean,
but you're used to that for like around 15 years or so almost since the original Shrek came out. So you've been exposed to that for a long time, and now you're getting a different take on it where it just doesn't connect. And I think the other thing, it's very low production of it being just them two and fire crackling. The way that I'd picture this would be on the screen, there'd be background music. And this was probably obviously early on. He might have ended up changing up Shrek a little bit, but it's still it showed a side that we didn't see that often at the time.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's bad. I probably would have worked, like you said, with the post-production. I mean, he's a very animated guy, and the character fits him very well. So, yeah, I'm sure it could have made sense. It would have been pretty good in its own way. I think it would have been good, too. Anybody else want to talk about it?
It's surreal to hear him, first of all. But
yeah.
I think it would have worked with him had he lived and stuff. And I liked him with Eddie Murphy. It would have worked and stuff. They probably would have made some minor changes, stuff like that. Yeah. But I liked it. I think it would have worked with him really well.
I want to get everybody's thoughts, too, on the internet. Like, would you have preferred Farley Shrek over what you know now as Mike Myers Shrek? Okay.
And hold on. Going back to the original article and the tweet and everything of Beverly Hills Cop 4, I meant to say this last week. In the words of David Spade, look, kid, the falling star.
Yes, sir. Okay.
But did anyone? One quick thing. Did anyone think he sounded like Andy? Like, when I was listening to that, if I didn't know better, I would say it was Andy Richter.
No, I could hear the difference.
Yeah, I could hear Farley. I did kind of like, I don't know, though. I like Myers's like Scottish accent with the ogre.
But again, it's something that you've been exposed to for 15 years. So it's just, it's you're growing accustomed to it.
No, I'm not saying I wouldn't have liked Farley. I think Farley would have done a great job. But when I think ogre and something like that, faraway land, stuff like that, you kind of get that Scottish, you know,
because you've been exposed to it for 15 years.
Not with just Shrek, though.
When you thought ogre and Shrek, did you think Scottish?
Yeah. I've seen a couple different things where ogres were that big, brooding, you know, fucked up accent fucking creature.
Normally, ogres are dumb. I'm ogre. It's something done like that.
But yeah, that's like our American. I see what you're saying, though, with Farley. He could have been the dumb ogre, you're saying? Like the oof, the more...
No, I'm not saying that's what Farley is. I'm thinking when I think ogre pre-Shrek, that's what I think I could think of.
Yeah, I agree. I think it definitely would have been doable. And I think it would have done well the same, like regardless of Mike Myers' take, it's just a different take on it. And I think both would have been good. Okay, and Vigilante, I think at Heavyset 330 is diluted. The Three Stooges was one of the worst films I've ever seen. I walked out of it. Sorry, I walked out of it and I was at home. So he left his house. Heavy, man. What the fuck?
We had a conversation after that through Twitter, and then later on Skype when we recorded another show. And it's hit, like, Ant is kind of a film snob. Him and Kevbo could have excellent conversations on the movies that they don't like and whatnot. But what I was trying to say is, for me, it stays true, not 100% true to the source material. He thinks the Farrelly brothers are out of touch and all that, but I'm just like, it's the Three Stooges. And when I never said it was a great film, and he takes any type of movie that you see in the theater to be film. And I was just like, I'm like, sometimes even when we talk, something could be a great movie, or a decent movie, but not a great film. If I would have did a review for Three Stooges when it came out, it probably would have been low. And normally how I rate movies, it isn't whether I think the movie's great. It's just whether I think how fast someone should go out and see it. And that is definitely a rental. It's a one-time seer. You see it. If you like the Three Stooges, you might want to go out and buy it. But that might be as far as it goes. I've seen it once. It's definitely more for kids, kind of more for American kids that like that dumb, really dumb humor. And I'm hoping possible that it opened up the Three Stooges for a younger generation. And they said, okay, who were these guys? And maybe they found some DVDs of the Three Stooges and the original ones, and they went to go watch it. Was it the greatest movie in the world? No. Would I buy it? Actually, yes. I did buy it, come to think about it. I bought it at a Black Friday sale when it was dirt cheap, because it was like a couple bucks. I'm like, fuck it, a couple bucks. But other than that,
like I said, man, yeah. If you want to go to the 99-cent store and get coasters, there's a definitely better places to set your drink on.
But I like a lot of that's the comedy from way back then. And Three Stooges is very much dumb humor. So why in the world would a guy like Ant criticize the movie for, like, oh, the Farrelly brothers are out of touch, blah, blah, and it's so bad? The material's dumbed down. The material's watered down. It's slapstick. You're trying to present it in this new age that's very hard to do, but they were giving it a shot. Like I said, is it a great movie that everyone should go out and see? Probably not. But I don't think it was as bad as many people make it out to be.
I think out of anything, they should have made it, instead of a reboot, a biopic.
They've already done the biopic, though.
So don't reboot it, then. I'm trying to. You know what I mean?
If I'm correct, the biopic wasn't theatrical. I want to say it was some TV network did it.
I'd say do a theatrical biopic, like really go into it. I think that would have resonated better in 2015. There's just some stuff, and we saw it too with John Carter and Mars. It just didn't resonate. It was too old to modernize it. It didn't make sense.
Well, a lot of stuff even from that era that they've tried to modernize through the years. I think it's the same thing. They directed the movie to the same people that The Little Rascals was pretty much directed to, and there might be a 15-20 year difference in the movie releases, but it's still the modern times is so much different. The movies are so much different than what the original source material was, and it's kind of more for kids. I think that's another thing you got to remember too. When you watch movies as a kid, you look at things so much differently, and you kind of go back and watch older movies, and you go, like, I used to love this movie. Why? I mean, some hold up. Like for me, Ghostbusters, I watch that every day of my life and be happy. But there's still other movies. I can't think of any off the top of my head. But it's just like, wow, I watched it, and that's not really that great of a movie.
Howard the Duck.
I know people who love that movie, too.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, Super Mario okay. Brothers, perfect example.
Like, I even knew
Super Double Mario. Dragon.
I've never seen that
one. Fuck you, I still like that movie.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude. Actually, it sucked ass, dude.
But, like, I think with Super Mario Brothers, that's the great example. I watched it as a kid. Yes. Did I like it? Yes. Did I think it was the greatest movie ever? Not really. But especially, like, getting older and everything, I look back and I'm just like, I think of, why did they turn this video game into this movie? And it's just horrible. But as a kid, if it was on, I'd watch it. Same thing with Three Stooges. There's probably kids out there that will go out there and watch it.
At the Vigilante, hashtag OSATM. Michael Jordan is in Fantastic Four. Hope he's better than Space Jam. Hope it's better than that. That's funny, you crazy Brit. And the Vigilante, hashtag OSATM. Can't believe you just shat on a national institution. Aardman Studios are incredible, and so is Shaun the Sheep. Perfect kids movie. I don't remember shitting on it.
That's
so
why it did 7 million. It was so great.
I just think that it didn't resonate with American audiences. I don't remember shitting on it.
Actually, I think you said you wanted to check it out and all that stuff. Yeah. You liked the idea that it was no verbiage. I think maybe if anybody, I might have said a few things about, you know, Wallace and Gromit and something like that. But
I don't know why I got shadow.
Those movies don't resonate well over here. I think the most successful one is Chicken Run.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
And Walter and Gromit, or what was it, Walter or Wallace?
Wallace.
Wallace.
Wallace, that's what I thought. Wallace and Gromit, I remember watching it, but I remember when the movies came out, I wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm going to run out and see it. For some reason, those movies, like you said, don't resonate with American audiences that much.
The feeling I get is like it's a clay version of Monty Python.
Kind of.
That's the feel I get from it. That's why I don't really tend to watch them.
I want a Postman Pat movie.
That's actually something I was just thinking about whenever me and Ant were going back and forth about Three Stooges. And I'm like, maybe for you, Three Stooges is like Monty Python. Like he said, he's watched it, but...
No, dude, nobody liked Three Stooges. No, it was a big piece of shit.
No. I'm talking about the original sources. Comparing Monty Python to Three Stooges the way they were in the country. And if they came out with another Monty Python movie, I don't know how well it would do. It would do better than the Three Stooges movie, obviously. But
in Britain, around there, it would do great.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about over here. I'm talking about in the opposite country.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't resonate because, right now with that current audience.
There's a good fan base in America of Monty Python, but I don't know how big it is. I know many people that like it. It's something that I've never been able to get into. But that's also when I didn't know that many British people, and I never really heard many British people speak. And since then, I've started doing the Week in Review and watching Doctor Who and Sherlock. So I've kind of become a norm to British accents. So maybe I've anteed up to that point. The only thing like British comedy that I really like is Rowan Atkinson, the guy who does Mr. Bean. But I don't even like Mr. Bean.
Yeah, you know what? It's a niche. It's a niche thing. Just like the Whovians. There are a lot of Whovians. It wouldn't make $100 million is what I'm saying. So
did somebody say quiche?
Exactly. All right, moving on. This comes from Toons Brian. Your face looks like a topographical map of the state of Utah and had sex with Freddy Krueger. Makes me laugh every time. Deadpool is going to be amazing. Hashtag OSATM. No doubt there. We discussed it earlier. Absolutely fucking agree. AA, I was not happy to see Cena's naked ass in Trainwreck. Hashtag OSATM.
He's lying.
Oh, yeah.
AA, I love LeBron James in Trainwreck. And being the tightwad, not wanting to spend money, hashtag OSATM. Kev, you said you liked this performance, right?
Yeah, it was pretty much the best thing about the movie for me.
At Toons Brian, from what I keep hearing, Fantastic Four might be renamed Fantastic. I'll never get that 2 hours and $10 back, hashtag OSATM. Yep, that's pretty much the consensus from what I'm hearing online as well. So, yeah.
I heard it was going to be changed to Fantastic 4 out of 10 at best.
There you go. But we're not done. We got two emailers. I said, hey, nobody's emailing us anymore. We haven't gotten one since I no-sold Piper's email back in like December. So we got to get some emails. We got two. First one from Ant the Vigilante. Subject, you want an email? Here's your damn email. So good luck reading this, you bastard. ... So I've been to see a few movies lately and have some quick reviews for you. I know you won't agree with them, but the majority of your tastes in music are that of a 15-year-old child with learning disabilities. Terminator Genesis, a movie that tries so hard not to complicate aspect of three previous movies in the franchise that it forgets to tell a story of its own and instead spends the entirety of the film falling over its feet, 4 out of 10. Kev, I think you agree with that, right?
I didn't actually hate the movie. I don't know why like you think I hate the movie. It was just...
You hated it.
It was just kind of there. I'd give it like a 6.5 or 7, but...
It's because you no-sell it. That's why he thinks you hate the movie.
Yeah, that's true. More because like I think Keith wanted to... old school wanted to...
Who's Keith?
Old school wanted to make love to the movie with how good he was saying it was.
Ted 2, a movie that cringe-worthingly tries to sell us an equality and prejudice angle using a teddy bear. All the novelty of the first movie is lost, including the majority of the humor as well. I enjoy the first film, but the sequel shouts more about Seth MacFarlane's self-righteousness than anything else. 4 out of 10.
100% on that. It was basically the first movie all over again, without being funny.
Jurassic World, a great addition to a classic franchise. It's big, bold, and brash for sure, but hey, it's a movie about dinosaurs. Pratt is the best thing in Hollywood at the moment, and this film proves the fact. Yes, this movie is over the top, but I reiterate that this movie is about dinosaurs. Really enjoyable, 7.5 out of 10. Minions, a movie that concentrates more on selling franchise rather than the film itself. If that was the aim, then hats off to them because they achieved what they set out to do. But as a movie, this was highly disappointing. The movie wasn't that bad, but it could have been so much more, and I was left thinking that it was a missed opportunity. Ant-Man, a movie that even the studio wasn't sure on, hence its low-y budget. I don't know if that's a word. It's lower budget, I guess, compared to other Marvel movies. It was $120. I don't think it was that low. This was fantastic on all levels and my new favorite Marvel film. Sorry, Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know if I agree with that. I think Guardians is better. The casting was great. Agreed. Storyline fantastic. Agreed. And action invigorating. Agreed. Ants are a sell. Ants are a draw, I guess he means. Just look at me and this movie for proof of that. Yeah, I don't know, but you're more of the... I'd say you're more of the Sunday Night Heat of DSJNP, more of the Val Venus, perhaps the Coco Beware of DSJNP. This film plays the line between comedy and action perfectly, and he gives it a 9. I'd agree with him on most of that, except for that it's better than Guardians.
Yeah, it's not better than Guardians, I don't think, as well.
So there you have it. The good, the bad, and the ugly of my movie reviewing for this week. Hope to come on soon. Ant the motherfucking Vigilante. Very good email. Thank you very much for your insights on all the movies and taking the time to actually write an email. Nobody else does, except for Piper the DJ. What is up? No sell email feedback at the movies? I'm going to be honest with you. There are not many movies that bring me into the theater. I can't justify wasting my money on something that might be hit or miss. Furthermore, I find it extremely infuriating when Hollywood takes a TV show to the big screen and makes such the transition but fuck poorly. To this end, I want to talk Mission Impossible. And I'm not talking the ass rape abortion of what some think they know Mission Impossible to be, starring Tom Cruise. Wow. Very strongly against the movies. The original TV series presented a special team of agents with what some would classify as impossible missions. The next 40 minutes demonstrated how the team used technology, proper strategy, planning, and their own wits to achieve their objective. When the first Mission Impossible hit the screen, I was excited to see it. But after watching it, I was disturbed. Jim, who typically led the team, was cast as a dirty agent. Of all the characters to make dirty, they had to pick the lead? What the fuck? I mean, seriously. That's like saying, yeah, dude, I have an excellent career that demonstrates loyalty, prestige, and pulling awesome results out of my ass, only to turn around and cock-block my country by turning into the ultimate backward F-word fuck. I'm not going to say that other word. Knowing full well that when the tape recorder guy find out, he's going to send a special team after me, and guess what? I will be ass-fucked by the very system that I am trying to fuck. A lot of ass-fucks in there. Don't get me wrong. Given the political structure in America, I understand how humans in general are greedy sacks of shit. However, Jim was supposed to be the incorruptible. He has always been the hero, the one, even in the 80s, who demonstrated what it was to be the hero and a great leader. My question, does Tom Cruise need another hand job? It seems only the time he revisits a movie is when he needs a hand job. See the threat of Top Gun 2. I mean, look at his career. Give me 5 Cruise hits that have been in the past 15 years. I am Piper the DJ. Good night. We are tasked with listing 5 Tom Cruise hits in the last 15 years. I'd say first one, Edge of Tomorrow.
I would say Valkyrie.
Well, it made 70. I really liked Jack Reacher. I don't know how well it did, but I thought it was a good hit.
What about The Last Samurai?
Was that 15 years?
Yeah, because it was in 2003.
Yeah, that one really big. How about War of the Worlds? That was huge.
Okay.
That did really well.
What about, didn't Vanilla Sky do actually well? I can't remember if that did well or not.
Minority Report was fucking fantastic.
Yep.
Hey, Piper, I don't know what's your... I agree with the Tom Cruise hand job thing, but I've always been a fan of Cruise, and I don't mind him revisiting these old school movies.
The only movie that didn't do well that I really liked his character in was Tropic Thunder when he was Les Grossman.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't count that as a starring role.
No.
I mean, I think he's still relevant, you know? He had a couple of slumps, but I think, especially now, that I think the Scientology thing is kind of blown over, and I think he's got a second or third win now in his career. And there is a lack of star power at the top right now, in my opinion, and I think he can still draw. I think the next couple of years are going to be kind of his twilight years.
So he's going to turn into a vampire?
Yeah, exactly.
Go by Blade. That was a great movie, though. I like that movie, Interview with Vampire.
Yeah, Piper, man, I would like to have you on to discuss this Tom Cruise stuff, because I know Heavy's a huge fan of his. And I think he's still got a drive. I think he's still got relevance.
I'm looking at Tom Cruise's, all his movies from pretty much ever. And this is only domestic, so maybe it doesn't say everything. But you look at, other than Mission Impossible, his highest grossing movie with the Mission Impossibles domestically is $234 million, which isn't that much. That's not
a bad thing, man.
But he's I'm looking at his latest ones. Edge of Tomorrow, $100 million.
Look at the world gross, though. I think it's more fair, especially in 2015.
But not only that, but consistency, even if he's not grossing constantly at higher than $200 million, he's still been at least $75 million or higher, I'm sure. He's always done good for his movies. I mean, there's a reason people cast him.
Check world gross, though.
Even then, they're decent, $350, $375. But when you're saying, he used to be one of the biggest movie stars in the
world. Abby, mute.
I keep wanting to say something. That's why I keep fucking unmuting.
Okay. Sorry. Let the Heavy talk.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that I think that he's one of those stars that doesn't have to be around all the, coming out of all these movies and everything being top hits. He has enough history. He's kind of I hate complimenting him, but The Rock or Brock Lesnar, guys that come into WWE that they don't have to be around all the time and grossing all the money. They've done enough before to where you're not necessarily looking at what they've drew recently. I think maybe even Denzel Washington. I still think Will Smith is in that category. A lot of people look past what he's done recently and just kind of go, he's a big star. Oh, it's Will Smith. Oh, I got to go see it type thing.
So you're saying he's a legend, basically.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
I'll even throw out there another actor. I think Tom Hanks.
Yeah, he's classic. If we're going to stick on Tom Cruise, though. Okay, Kev, Edge of Tomorrow, worldwide, 369. Oblivion, worldwide, 286.
I'm not saying... No, that's the thing. I'm not saying he's...
Jack Reacher, worldwide, 218 on a 60.
Again, I'm not saying he's not a box office draw, but he's not... he's not one of those... When you think of Tom Cruise, you think what? Or you used to think one of the top three, movie stars in the world. And his box office just doesn't support that. His movies still make money. They're not making $700 million at the box office or $800 million at the box office.
Night and Day, gross, 261.
Exactly my point.
It's not his fault. It's the market. It's saturated.
But not a lot of movies make $800 million. Like The Rock's movies, not all his movies make $800 million.
No, none of them make it, and that's the thing. So you can't go down to the 80s now with the different...
I think it goes by the stuff he's done in the past as well as his consistency to continue to do that. Whether or not it was a great movie or not, you got Risky Business, Cocktails, Top Gun. Then you go into the 90s, you got Jerry Maguire. He's just had so many good roles that regardless if it made money or not, he was consistent in those roles enough for him to get cast into each and every role he's been in henceforth.
For you to say that because his movies don't make $800 million, that he's not one of the top draws, I disagree wholeheartedly. They're still, given the culture right now, these ensemble cartoon casts, these ensemble comic book casts, him alone still drawing with the amount of time he's been out and still relevant for him to still make $300 million worldwide off a movie that is driven solely on his name alone, I think is remarkable. And on that note, let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts, Mr. Heavyset.
I was just checking a friend of mine's Facebook feed, and this is what he said on his closing remarks of what he thought of Fantastic Four. A more honest movie title would be Fantastic Four, We Can't Let Marvel Get the Rights Back, featuring a barrel of money on fire for 90 minutes.
Yeah. Le Carnage. Sorry, Heavy, where can we find you?
I was going to say that's pretty much it. I mean, everywhere you can find me on the Trending Topics Network, allwrestling.com, Week in Review, when the episode doesn't sound fucked up, DSJMP, WrestleCast, at Heavyset 330 on every single social media site out there. If it's not there, then I'm not there.
Le Carnage.
You can follow me at Carnage0228 on Twitter. You can find me right here at Old School at the Movies. Also, listen this week where myself, Heavy Set, will be on Devil Vamp's game show. And that's it for me this week.
Katie, the First Lady.
Well, I just want to say I'm excited to see Deadpool coming out. The trailer, it was cool to hear Chris Farley one last time. And you could follow me at Katie First Lady. You can hear me on the DSJ and P Wrestle.
DSJNP.com.
So check it out.
DSJNP.com. Check it out. Kebbo Trek, final thoughts.
It's good to be back.
Motherfucker. So for Heavy Set, Le Carnage, Katie the First Lady, and Kebbo Trek, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
Before the reboot that will keep the characters out of Marvel's hands, but after the Roger Corman movie that also kept the characters out of Marvel's hands, come two other attempts at the franchise that prove these characters should really be in Marvel's hands by now. Fantastic Four and its crappy sequel. At a time when comic book movies began to show how good they could be, two films will remind us how badly they can suck.
You guys look like an 80s rock band.
As the director of Barbershop is handed the reins of Marvel's original super team, then steers it off a cliff.
Come on.
And don't tell me there's no way to make a good Fantastic Four movie. It's called The Incredibles, and it's perfect. Witness a more or less faithful adaptation of the totally bananas 1961 origin story, where a space cloud gives four people completely different superpowers, leading to one movie about recreating the space cloud on Earth, and one movie about trying to save the world from a completely different space cloud.
My people called it Galactus.
No, this is Galactus. That is a space cloud. What is it with this era and evil clouds? Stop making cloud-based villains! Meet the Fantastic Four, whose powers line up perfectly with their Fantastic Four shadowing.
Same old Reed, always stretching. I see you're still doing all the heavy lifting.
To be seen and heard.
Oh, you're hot.
Why, thank you, so are you.
There's Reed, the nerd Richards. His crush, Sue, the girl Storm. Johnny, the human chlamydia Storm.
Were you just waiting outside the bathroom to try and catch me in a towel?
And their overly attached friend, Ben the Thing Grimm, who's rewarded for his loyalty by getting made fun of.
Johnny!
Literally getting dumped on. Made into an outcast.
I'll take the stairs.
And getting rejected by his fiancé just for looking different. Man, I didn't think I could hate Andrea from The Walking Dead any more than I already did.
No, don't touch me!
Traps!
Together, each of the Fantastic Four must set aside their only character trait to take on Victor the Green Goblin Von Doom and the Silver T-1000 Morpheus.
All that you know is at an end.
But instead of the wild space battles and psychedelic showdowns you love from the comics, watch them use their superpowers in a bunch of super boring settings, like taking up overhead compartment space, X-gamesing, dance battles, pooping, and skincare.
I've got a zit. Can't you put makeup on it? No, I got it.
So before you see the third and hopefully final attempt to launch the Fantastic Four, relive the original two disappointments who gave their lives so that Chris Evans could be free to play a decent Captain America. Sorry, Ioan? Gruffafudded? Starring Ioan Gruffafudded. Not again. That's too many vowels and too many consonants. Elon Musk, Mercury Rising, Battle Cloud Galacticus, Jessica Albiz, A Rotting Pumpkin, Scandalous, and Captorch Humerica. Craptastic Bore. Make a Mexican woman put on a blonde wig and blue contacts to play Sue Storm, and no one bats an eye. Cast a black eye as the Human Torch, and everyone loses their minds!